Okay, I asked you to take a look at Simon Lamed Zayin in the Ginas Egos because we started to discuss the Chiddush of the Ravid of what a Baldover is. Not what a Baldover, but the Ravid's Chiddush of how a Baldover is different than an Eid. That there's a difference between an Eid who's puzzle and a Baldover. A Baldover doesn't even have a shame Eid at all. How did we get to discussing that Chiddush of the Ravid? Because we were discussing the two possible ways to understand the psul of nogeya. Nogeya means that the outcome of the case is going to affect me. So is the reason that a nogeya is not allowed to be made because we're choshesh that he's going to lie, or is the reason that a nogeya is not to be made is because if the outcome is going to affect me, it means that I'm a party to that case, that I'm a baldover. Baldover means a party to the case. So that was the basic chakira. So we discussed the Ravid's notion that a baldover doesn't even have a shame aid at all. Where did that come up? That came up in Baba Basra. The Gemara Baba Basra talks about a case, Sefer Torah gets stolen from a city. You need people to testify, you need people to judge, you need people to be involved in the case. Problem is, everyone in the city is a baldover. So how's anyone in the city going to be able to testify? So the Gemara says, oh, I have an idea. All you need to do, and you remember what's the Gemara's suggestion? And remember what the Gemara says to do? What? Disassociate. Take two people from the city, let them disassociate with that Sefer Torah. They will no longer be affected by the outcome of the case. Good, and then let them testify. Frecht, all the Rishonim, that doesn't work. Because if you want to be an aid, it's not good enough to be a kosher aid at the time that you say the testimony. You also need to be a kosher aid at the time that you witness the event. If they disassociate in order to be an aid on the case of the stolen Sefer Torah, it's too late. They were already associated at the time the Sefer Torah was stolen. So it's going to be too late. It's going to be a problem. So says the Ravid Chiddush, we had three Mahalchim to answer this question, but says the Ravid Chiddush that no, the problem of Tchilasu Bipsul, of being a Pasla aid when the event happened, is only if you're an aid, not if you're a Baldover. A baldover is not the same as an aid. Is not the same as a pasla aid. Pasla aid means a karov, a gambler, a ganav, you know, those kinds of things. A baldover is just doesn't have a shame aid. He's not called an aid. He's not a witness to the event. He's a baldover. He's someone that the outcome of this case is going to affect. So by a baldover, the Ravid says, even if you were a baldover at the beginning, but you're not a baldover now when you're going to say the testimony, so that's fine. There's no problem of tchilaso bipsul by a baldover. So what I wanted to do is go through this piece in Ginas Egos. A number of you had mentioned that you were having some difficulty making heads or tails of it, so I want to go through it with you carefully. This piece in Ginas Egos where Rav Shechter tries to be magdir, what does baldover mean? What exactly makes somebody a baldover? So the simple translation of baldover is what I've been saying the whole time, is that if the outcome of the case is going to affect me, that means I'm a baldover of the case, because the outcome of the case is going to be about me. So if Reuven is suing Shimon for $1 million, so both Reuven and Shimon are baldover, because the outcome of the case directly affects both Reuven and Shimon. If Reuven is suing a giant corporation with 10,000 shareholders, so the baldover are all 10,000 shareholders and Reuven, because the outcome of the case affects every single one of them. They are all balei davar in the case. That's the pashut pshat. But Rav Shechter starts with the Gemara Makos. I have photocopies of it for those who did not get a photocopy of the Gemara Makos. I think it's important to see this Gemara Makos to know what we're talking about. We've been using this as the background for a lot of what we've been speaking about. It's important to actually see the Gemara in Maseches Makos. The Gemara Maseches Makos raises the question, the Mishnah actually raises the question, why is it that there's a pasuk in Chumash that tells us that al pi shnei edim o al pi shlosha edim yakum davar, that if you want a high standard of evidence in Judaism, you need two or three witnesses. What's the obvious problem? If two witnesses are good enough, obviously three witnesses are good enough. Why would the Torah mention three witnesses? So the Mishnah told us that Rabbi Akiva says, I'll tell you why it says three, because it's telling you a din that just like it's obvious when you have two witnesses and one of them turns out to be puzzle, the whole eidos falls apart, so too when you have three witnesses and one of them turns out to be a karov or a puzzle, the entire Eidus falls apart. You might have thought, no, if I have three witnesses and one of them is a Karav Apostle, so 3 minus 1 is 2, so I still have 2, I'm still good. But no, that's the Chiddush of the Torah, when it says, Al Pishnei Eidim, Al Pishlosha Eidim, that if you have 3 witnesses and one of them is a Karav Apostle, the whole Eidus falls apart. So take a look now in this Gemara Makas, Davav Amin Aleph, middle of the page. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Bashlishi V'chulei Mashnayim V'chulei. It's referring to that line in the Mishnah where we say, just like 2 witnesses, one of them is a Karav Apostle, the whole Eidus falls apart, so too with 3. Omer Le Rav Papa La Abaye, so asks Rav Papa to Abaye, Elameata, if that's the case, Harug Yatzil. The murder victim should always save the murderer from getting prosecuted. Why? Because at every murder, the murder victim is present. He's one of the witnesses to the murder. And he is a pasala aid. So you will, let's say you have Reuven is about to kill Shimon. So Levi and Yehuda go over to Reuven and say, we're hereby giving you a straw. If you kill Shimon, you're going to be chayv misa. You better not do it. And Reuven says, Afal PK, and I'm so angry, I want to kill Shimon anyway. And he kills Shimon. So the standard understanding is Levi and Yehuda will go to Beis Din. They'll be made against Reuven. Reuven will get killed. Asks the Gemara, they can't do it because Levi and Yehuda weren't the only witnesses. Shimon was also a witness to his own murder. So Levi, Yehuda, and Shimon are all 3 witnesses. One of those guys is Pasul. Who's Pasul?
That doesn't mean, just because they're all witnesses, doesn't mean they all have to come together.
They're not coming together, but we're just, the Gemara is assuming that being there at the event is enough. You're right. One could argue, and that might be the Maskan of the Gemara according to some Rishonim, is that no, that's not when the Eidus is defined. But assuming that it's defined at the Shas Maisa, when it's happening, and not when they come to Beis Din, so this would be just the presence of Shimon at his own murder makes it that you have a Karav Apostle in the case. You have a Karav Apostle in the picture. And therefore, Levi and Yehuda can't testify. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Harug Yatzil. Let the murder victim save the murderer. So the Gemara says, okay, Kishargu Me'achorov. Maybe it's where Shimon did not witness his own murder because Reuven didn't attack him frontal attack. He came from behind. So Shimon had no idea who killed him. He didn't see who killed him. Someone shot him from right behind. How is he going to see? So that's why it's not a problem. Levi and Yehuda could still testify. But the implication of that line of the Gemara is that if Shimon sees someone attacking him, even though Levi and Yehuda gave Hasra and the whole thing and their kosher witnesses, they can't prosecute. They can't testify against Reuven because Shimon is part of their group if he sees it. The Gemara's only way of saying that Shimon's out is if Shimon didn't see it. Unbelievable. So the Gemara says, Nirva Yatzil. What about a case where an act of homosexuality is committed? So again, Reuven is about to have bia with Shimon. He's about to be Roveya Shimon. Shimon is the Makabel over here. Shimon's playing the female role in the homosexual act. And Reuven is playing the male role. Levi and Yehuda come to Reuven and say, if you do this, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. Reuven says, I don't care, I have such taivas, I want to do it anyway. The fact that Shimon saw Reuven do it should make it that you cannot prosecute Reuven because Shimon was there. And he's a Karov, he's apostle aid. So answers the Gemara, Kisharavu Me'achorav. Shimon didn't see who was being Roveyahim. It was from behind, he didn't see, so he had no idea. That's the only case where you can prosecute Reuven. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Horeg v'roveya yatzilu. You know who else witnessed Reuven killing Shimon or Reuven being Baal Shimon? Reuven. So Reuven's presence should make it that there's always a pasul aid in the picture. Because Reuven witnessed it. Ishtik. Said, oh, checkmate, you got me. That's a good kasha. How's anyone ever going to be chayv misa? The murderer always sees it. So the Gemara answers, Kiyasal kamei de Rava, when they came to Rava, Amarle, Yakum davar, bimekayme davar akasa medaber, which the Ravid understands that answer of the Gemara to mean, no, Reuven's not a pasala aid, Shimon's not a pasala aid, they're not aidim at all. What are they? What are Reuven and Shimon? They're bali davar, they're not aidim. Nimtzach v'nim karav apostle is when one of the aidim is a karav apostle. Reuven and Shimon are Pasul Eidim, the Bali Dover, they're the guys in the case. Mimela, you go back to the Kasha about the Nirva, about, you know, the Kasha's about Shimon. And the Gemara originally answered, oh, the only case where you can actually prosecute Reuven is if Shimon was murdered from behind, or he was nearby from behind, right? Now we can go back and say, no, even if he was murdered from in front, you can still prosecute Reuven. Why? Because Shimon's a Baldavar. He's not a Apostle of Aid. So he doesn't ruin the testimony. The Gemara's Maskana, the way the Rabbi understands it, is that Reuven and Shimon, in both the murder case and in the homosexuality case, are Balei Davar. They're both Balei Davar. Good?
Is it clear that it's also Shimon or just Reuven?
It's not so clear. The way the Rabbi understands that it's Shimon also. But in Achinam, you could have understood that we stuck with the first answer in terms of Shimon, that Shimon is an aid, apostle of aid, and Reuven's a baldava. You could have understood it that way. Apparently, the way the Rabbi understands it is that even Shimon is a baldava. Very, very astute point, important point. Now, there is a slight discussion, what makes, Tosos discusses that maybe the Nirva is puzzle because he hates the Roveya, and a sone is puzzle to be an aid, assuming that it was a rape and it wasn't just consensual. Then Tosfos says, no, maybe even if it was consensual, but whatever, okay. Forget about those issues. Bottom line is, what Rav Shechter takes from this Gemara is that according to the Ravid, both Reuven and Shimon in both the murder case and in the Roveya case are both Balei Davar. Now, if we're going to work with our definition of Balei Davar, which is that the Psak din in the case affects the parties. Anyone who the psak din affects is a baldavar. So we first have a kasha. Why should a murder victim be a baldavar? He's already dead. When the din is paskin that Reuven is chayv misa, Shimon doesn't come back to life. Nothing happens to Shimon. So why is he a baldavar? So you could fetch out of it and you could say, well, it's vindication for his soul, something, okay, maybe it makes him a baldavar, in some way he's affected by Reuven's death. Okay, maybe you could say something like that. But what about the nirva? Especially if you assume that he wasn't raped. Why does the outcome of the case, it's not even vindication for him, he wasn't raped. Why is the outcome of the case, in what way does the outcome of the case affect Shimon the nirva? They'll kill Reuven, they won't kill Reuven. It's got nothing to do with Shimon. So that's the kasha. That's kasha number one that Rav Shechter really asks. That's what he asks in the paragraph that begins with Vihine Lefizeh. That's where a lot of you got stuck. Vihine Lefizeh kasha lahavin kushyas haGemara. According to this, it's difficult to understand the Gemara's kasha. The nirva yatzil, that the nirva should save the death, the life of the Roveya. Why would you think that the Roveya is chayiv to the Nirva? That in some way the Nirva is affected? Why would you assume such a thing? Why is the Nirva considered a baldavar? What makes him a baldavar? So that's kasha number one. Before, yeah, just flip it. Yeah. No, that thing, yeah. Thanks. Now, before answering that kasha, Rav Shechter asks a couple of other kashas that cloud the issue a little bit. So these other kashas we mentioned yesterday at the end of Shir, and the Rambam in Hilchos Shgagos. Let's say a guy goes and he bows down to five different idols. So is he chayiv five times or is he chayiv once? So we said, well, so Eitan Ross pointed out yesterday, well, if he gets hasra each time, he bows to one, then someone warns him again, you better not bow to that one, and then he goes to bow to the other one. So it could even be the same one five times that he bows to. He'd be chayiv five times if he got a separate hasra. Let's assume he got one hasra. Someone said, don't bow to idols. And he goes and he bows down to five different idols. Is he chayiv five times or chayiv one time? Or someone says, don't commit mishkav zachar. Don't sleep with a man. And he goes and he sleeps with five different men. So is he chayiv once or chayiv five times? Don't commit bestiality. And he goes and he sleeps with the whole farm. So is he chayiv once or is he chayiv multiple times? Excuse my crassness. Okay, so the Rambam Hilchos Shgagos writes Perkei Halacha Gimel. He's chayiv by mishkav zachar, by homosexuality. He's chayiv separately for each of them. So Rav Shechter has two kashas on the Rambam. Kasha number one on the Rambam is there is a Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis where the Gemara seems to assume that you should not be chayiv five separate times. Why? There's a machlokas in Sanhedrin and Daladam days. Machlokas in Sanhedrin Daphim and Daladam days between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael. Okay, it really takes up the entire. It's gonna be hard to go through the entire Gemara. Let me try to summarize. Basically, runs as follows. There is a machlokes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, from where we know that the Torah gives an ashara, that the Torah asks someone to be the nishkav in Mishkav Zachar, to be Shimon, in our case, in the Mishkav Zachar. What's the pasuk? So Rabbi Shmuel says, well, it's the same pasuk as the Shochev in Mishkav Zachar. Rabbi Shmuel says that it's the same pasuk that teaches us that you're not allowed to be a Nishkav in Mishkav Behema, that you're not allowed to be involved in bestiality. Pasuk Lo Yekadesh tells us that you're not allowed to be involved in homosexuality or bestiality on the receiving end. Rabbi Akiva says, no. It's the pasuk that tells you now to be on the receiving end of homosexuality is nothing to do with the pasuk about bestiality. It's the same pasuk that tells us that you're not allowed to be on the giving end of homosexuality. Same isra of to the shochev is the same pasuk where we learn the isra to the nishkav. So Gemara says, okay, what difference does it make? L'may nafkamina. What does it matter which pasuk you associate the nishkav with? Whether it's one pasuk, the same pasuk as the shochev, or the same pasuk as Mishkav Behema, what difference does it make? So Gemara says the difference is, what if a person does both? He's Nirva LeBehema and Nirva LeZachar. He commits both bestiality and homosexuality, both on the receiving end. So how many times is he chayiv? If you hold that the pasuk that teaches us you're not allowed to be on the receiving end of homosexuality is the same pasuk that tells you not to be on the receiving end of bestiality, so it's going to be one chiyuv, it's one pasuk. But if you understand that the pasuk that says you're not allowed to be on the receiving end of homosexuality is the same pasuk as being on the giving end of homosexuality, which is a different pasuk than the bestiality pasuk, so you committed averus of two pasukim. Depending whether you committed an aver of one pasuk or two pasukim, it's going to be whether you chayiv once or twice. That's the nafkamina, where you learn it from. How many pasukim did the guy violate? The guy violate one pasuk, or the guy violate two pasukim? So what do you see? If the guy violated one pasuk, even though he committed multiple acts, he's only going to be chayiv once. He's not going to be chayiv twice. But the Rambam said that by Mishkav Zachar, forget about bestiality and homosexuality, he just does homosexuality five times. He's going to be chayiv five times. Yet over here the Gemara says, if it's one pasuk that you're violating, I don't care how many times you did it, you're only chayiv once. The Rambam says, you violate the same pasuk five times with five different people, you're chayiv five times. The Rambam is directly against the Gemara. Kaptakasha, should I say it again? We got it. Second kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam himself says that if you shecht five animals that are designated as karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's an isser. You're not allowed to shecht a chulin animal inside the Beis HaMikdash. That's chayiv kares, if you do that, that's really bad. And you're not allowed to shecht holy animals outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Not a chayiv kares, but still bad. Nisa d'oraisa. Let's say you shechted five animals that were all kodesh outside of the Beis HaMikdash, all at once. Says the Rambam, you're only chayiv once. If you bow to five idols, you're only chayiv once, says the Rambam. So as for Shechter, I don't understand. Why does the Rambam say that if you commit homosexuality with five different men, you're chayiv five times? And yet, if you shecht five animals outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you're only chayiv once. If you bow to five different idols, you're only chayiv once. What's the difference? So again, two kashas on the Rambam. Number one, the Rambam seems to be against the Gemara, where the Gemara says that the only time you're going to be chayiv more than once is if you violated more than one pasuk. The Rambam says, sleep with five different guys. It's all one pasuk. Yichayev once. Yichayev five times, rather. Second kash on the Rambam is, the Rambam himself says, take five different Kodesh animals, shech them all outside the Beis HaMikdash. How many times yichayev? Five different animals all outside the Beis HaMikdash, only yichayev once. So why wouldn't he sleep with five animals and yichayev five times? The Rambam Soser himself. Those are his kashas on the Rambam. Yeah.
For the opinion that says that you're chayav for two psukim, then maybe if you were to do it twice, then you'd say that you're chayav four things, you know?
No, because he says if it was from the same pasuk, let's say the isser with the behema and the isser with another man was from the same pasuk, the Gemara says explicitly you would only be chayav once if you do both. So you see that if it's the same pasuk, you're only going to be chayiv once. Yeah.
What's the punishment for these things? All these are covered up.
I'm not sure.
Interesting, because what's the difference?
Avodah Zarah is not chat. Avodah Zarah.
Right. What's the difference between being chayiv once or twice or three times? Like if it's Avodah Zarah, you're chayiv easily.
Okay, you're right. If it's a carbon, it makes sense that there should be a difference in malchus, whether you have one malchus or multiple malchios.
So
that would be a difference. If it's a chiv chatos or a chiv malchus, then we need to know how many times. If it's a chiv misa, we probably don't really need to know how many times. Right? So we must be talking malchus or chatos.
If you have malchus, can't you knock over a certain amount?
If you can't handle it, but if you know you're strong like me, you can handle anything.
Like, to handle 80 malchus?
Right, I don't know, I never tried it. But I'm saying, like, they have a doctor on you know, on call at the basement. You had a theory of what that was? No? In high school I thought it was a giant pencil sharpener. I think they're wrong. I'm not an engineer, but I think they're wrong. Okay, so Rav Shechter says as follows. Let's say a person says, you know, you're about to go eat in a treifa restaurant, and you're about to eat a treifa steak. And someone says, I'm giving you asra, don't eat that, you're going to be chayv malchus. And then I eat the whole steak. Chayv once or chayv for every single kazayis? I'm going to eat the whole steak. I had one asra at the beginning, ate the whole thing. So the halacha is, you're chayv once. Why you only chayiv once? It's one eating. Even if it wasn't a beria, even if the steak was cut up or whatever, it was different pieces of steak. It's one eating, it's one sitting, it's one maisa achila. It's all connected. It all counts as one eating. It's not the pshat that really you're chayiv twice, but we're only going to make you bring one chatos for both chiyuvim. No, it's one aveiru. You just happen to do it in grand style by eating a 32-ounce steak. But it's one chiyuv. If that's true, why would the Rambam hold that when you sleep with five guys, you're chayiv five separate korbanos? If one man goes around promiscuously and goes and sleeps with five separate guys, from that one man's perspective, he's done the same aveira. He's just, you know, eating more bites of steak. He's just doing more of the same aveira. It's all one aveira. You could say, it's one aveira. He's just doing it, you know, a lot. In grand style, like I said before. One aveira. But the act of bia, by definition, means that two parties have to participate. It's not an act of bia unless there's participation of two parties, right? If you look at it from the perspective of the other guys, the nishkavim, the people who are having bia with this man who's running around to all five of them, is it one maisa? No, they weren't. Of course it's five different maisas. One was Shimon, one was Levi, one was Yehuda. There were all these different people. So of course it's a different maisa. Each one had their own maisa. It's not shaykh to say that from Reuven's perspective, when he slept with five different guys, it was all one maisa. But from the perspective of Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naftali, from their perspective, it was five different maisas. Either it was five maisas or it was one maisa. Since behechrich, from the recipient's perspective, And they're Balei Maisa. They're people that are involved in the Maisa itself. The Hechrech. It was five different Maisios. It was five different actions. Memela, from Reuven's perspective, it's also five different actions. So you have to say. One second. Let's just take... What about when you bow to five different idols? One Maisa or five different Maisa? So that would be one. Why would you say one? So why would you want to say five different ones? Because you would say, well, from the idol's perspective. But the idol's a chefza. It's not a thing. It's not that being mishtachava requires a cooperative action. Bia requires a cooperative action. Even if the person doesn't willingly do it, but they are a participant in the action. They are not just the chefza on which it is done. They are a participant in the action. When you bow to an idol, it's the chefza upon which you are doing your isra of avodah zarah. So you don't have to look at it from the idol's perspective. The idol's not a person. The idol doesn't have thoughts. The idol doesn't have feelings. And the idol doesn't participate. So it's one maisa from the perspective of the person who's being mishtachaveh. A question?
So according to all these reasonings, I'll give you an example of the person with the steak. Let's say a guy has a trip of steak and someone warns him, don't eat that steak, you'll be chayev. So he cuts it up into 10 pieces, he eats all 10 pieces, it only counts as one issue.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say he has five different steaks that are all trip of steaks, he cuts each one up into 10 pieces. Each whole steak is its own mice.
No, it's not. Because the steak is not... The steak is the chefta upon which the aveira is being done. The steak doesn't participate in the aveira. By an act of bia, by definition, the other person is participating. So you have to look at it from their perspective. You don't have to look at it from the steak's perspective. Because the steak isn't a participant. The steak is just what the issue is being done. You don't have to... For sure not the Eidim. What do you mean? Yeah, but they're testifying about your aveira. The question is... Yeah, but again, if it's defined as one maisa, the halacha will define it as one maisa if he wasn't warned more than once, and there's no reason to define it as more than one maisa. When you had five different people involved on the other end, so you have to say it's got to be five different actions because five different people were involved. Each of them did one maisa, so then you have to say from his perspective it's also five different actions. But when the other side of the equation is an idol or a stake, well, that's not a participant. It was just a chefza upon which it was done. So let's say you shecht five korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. How do you look at it? Do you look at it from the side of the animals, or do you look at it from the side of the... Meaning, is the animal a participant, or is the animal the chefza upon which the aveira is done? When you shecht the korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's a chefza. It's the same as eating the steak, same as bowing to the idols, it's a chefza. So what's the Rambam going to paskin? You shecht five animals outside of the Beis HaMikdash, how many times are you going to be chayiv? What does the Rambam say? You're chayiv once. That's what the Rambam does say. Because it's a chefza. What if a man sleeps with a behema and with a zachar? He's a nishkav with both a behema and a zachar. How many actions? Two actions. Because bia, by definition, involves participation of the other party. So you need to look at it from the perspective of the other party. So it's two different actions. So what does the Gemara say? If you sleep with both a behema and a zachar, if it's derived from one pasuk, well, we'll go back to the Gemara in a second. So let's say a person sleeps with a behemah and a zachar, or he's baal hey behemos on five behemos or five zacharim. So of course the Rambam is going to paskin yechayiv for each one. There are five different actions, because from the perspective of the other party, they're clearly different actions. So we have to say from his perspective, they're also different actions. Now, what are we going to do with the Gemara in Sanhedrin? The Gemara in Sanhedrin said, well, it all depends on how many psukim. If it's one pasuk that you violate with a behema and a zachar, You're only chayiv once. What do you do with that Gemara? So says Rav Shachter, beautiful. He says, you have to look carefully at that Gemara. What is the pasuk? According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's one pasuk that teaches us Zachar and Behema, right? What's the pasuk? Lo Sival, Lo Sishkav, what's the pasuk? Normally Yisr Bio, right, would be Shochev, and Yisr to be Shochev. You know what the pasuk is? Lo Yeh Kadesh. You know what that means? Don't be a hefker. Don't just make your sexuality hefker. Not a Maisa Bia. The Yisr isn't a Maisa Bia. The way the Yisr is formulated is to be mafkir yourself. Which means the way the Yisr is formulated is that it's not a joint endeavor. That you don't have to look at it from the perspective of the other party. Because it's not an Yisr of Bia. Bia, by definition, involves the other party. Being Shocheva, Shocheva, and Anishkav involves the other party. So Gemara says, yeah, you know, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that the Isser in question is only an Isser of don't be mafkir yourself, lo yekadesh. So then you could do multiple actions with one with a behemoth, one with a human being, and it's all one avera. Because then you just look at the human being and the animal as a cheftza. Because it's not an Isser bia. Only by bia do you say that it's a joint action. And therefore multiple actions. But if it's not an Isser Bia, you just look at them as a chafetz of the Avera. We don't paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. That the Isser of being a Nishkav in Mishkav Zachar is learned from the same pasuk as the Isser of being a Shochev in Mishkav Zachar. Which means that when you commit Mishkav Zachar, you have to look at both the perspective of both parties. So it would turn out, and also by Mishkav Behema, the same would also be true. So it would turn out that Mishkav Zachar and Mishkav Behema are the same din as any other Isser of Bia. Where, by definition, you can't just look at the other party as a cheftza, you have to look at them as a participant in a joint activity. So if a man, so what's the Rambam going to paskin? If a man sleeps with five other men, how many times is he going to be chayiv? So the Rambam works out great. He's going to be chayiv five times. Because those aren't five cheftzes, those are five people that participate in a joint activity. Says Mikhail five times. Now, says Rav Shachter, we come full circle. We started with Akasha. The Gemara, Makos, says that the Nirva is a Baal Davar, the way the rabbi understood the Gemara, that a Nirva is a Baal Davar. What was Akasha? How could you consider the Nirva a Baal Davar after all? The verdict in this case will have zero effect on the Nirva. So how do you consider him Baldavar? So what we kept on saying is, there's got to be some other definition of Baldavar other than the verdict is going to affect me. There's got to be something else that makes someone a Baldavar. So take a look on page Kuf Lamites in Ginas Egos, the paragraph that begins with Me'ata. Says Rav Shachter, Me'ata Nicha Gemara de Makos Anal. Now we can answer up that Gemara Makos. Where Rashi and the Ravid held that the Nirva counts as a Baldavar. How does he count as a Baldavar? So says Rav Shachter, beautiful. Since we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, the Isseravia, who shall olasos maisabia imazacha, that the Isser of homosexuality, the Isser of bestiality, is not an Isser on don't do this to that cheftza, like bowing or shechting or eating. No, it's an Isser. Don't have this act of joint participation between two parties. The definition of the Isser involves two parties. V'nimtza sheyesh kan pu'ula mishutefes bein haroveya v'anirva. You have a joint action between the roveya and the nirva. Nimtza gamkein. The Nirva is a participant in the action for which the Roveya is being tried. The Roveya is on trial. What's he on trial for? An act of Mishkav Zachar. Can one do an act of Mishkav Zachar alone? No! You need another participant. Baal Dover doesn't mean that the Psak is going to affect him. Baal Dover means he was in the case. He was one of the participants. So what? You're going to say a piece of meat is a participant when the guy's on trial for eating treif? No! It wasn't a participant, it was a cheftza. But by an isser of bia, when you're talking about a roveh and a nirva, he was a participant. Vim kein yishlomar. The hainu time of the chashiv kebal davar upasal asos. Together bal davar hulo rak hanidon, asher alavanu donim nuchayev alpater. Bal davar doesn't just mean the guy we're judging and figuring out is he chayev, is he pater. That's not what bal davar means. Vilo rak ze she'elov magia hachiyuv. Bal davar also does not mean the guy who is going to be affected, Elaaf Bal Hamaisa. Bal Davar will also mean someone who participated in the action in question. If the trial is over a given action and the action had more than one participant, then both participants are Bal Davar. So it's true, a Bal Davar is someone who is on trial. A Bal Davar is someone who's going to be determined to be Chayev or Pater based on a trial. But a Bal Davar is also somebody who participated in the action for which somebody is being tried. So if Reuven is Roveya Shimon, granted Shimon, the outcome of the case will not affect Shimon. Shimon is not on trial. But Shimon is most definitely a participant in the case, in the Maisa, for which Reuven is being tried. Shimon is a participant in the Maisa for which Reuven is being tried. And he says, now look back at Rashi in Makos. What does Rashi say? At the end of that Gemara, the Gemara says, no, the Roveya, the Nirva, the Harug, the Horeg, they're all Balei Davar. Says Rashi, Yakum Davar Ksiv, Bahaikra, that it says Yakum Davar in the Pasuk, Sha'asar Lukulam Kishnayim, that we make all of the Edim like two people, Dainu Edim. Who's Mekayim the Davar? That's the Edim. Avalo, but not, what are the words? Be'osei HaDavar. How does Rashi understand the concept of Bal Davar? Not the person who's on trial, not the person who's going to be affected, not just the person who's on trial, not just the person who's going to be affected, but Osei HaDavar, so meduyak. What does Osei HaDavar mean? Participated. He was in the action. The Nirva is a participant of the action. That's how you're Magdir Bal Davar. Where do we get that gedder of Bal Davar? Do you understand that? Is that clear? Bal Davar is not the person, not only the person in effects, not only the person on trial, not only the person that's going to be punished. Bal Davar is a person who participated. According to Rabbi Yishmael, and this is the only part that I think some of you may have gotten confused, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Isra of being in Nirva is Lo Yekadesh. It's not an Isra of Bia. It's an Isra of don't be Hefker. So then the Nirva is just viewed as a Hefza, and the Roveya did his Avera. According to Rabbi Akiva, though, it's an Isra of Shochev, it's an Isra of Bia, it's an Isra of the Shutvas together. Now, where do we find that the Geder of Bal Davar is someone who participates in the action? So there is a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Mem Gimel. I mentioned this on the first day. Machlokz Beisham Beis Hillel, if a shliach could become an aid. Shliach nase aid or ain't shliach nase aid. If I was sent to do something, can I be an aid that it happened? Someone sent me to be Mekadesh in Isha form. Can I also be one of the aidei Kiddushin? So Beisham says no, because you're a Bal Davar. Ain't shliach nase aid, you're a Bal Davar. Why am I a Bal Davar? I'm not getting married. I'm just a shliach. I'm giving this kiddushin for the other guy. The other guy's getting married. Why does that make me a Bal Davar? By what right does Beis Shammai have to call that a Bal Davar? But if you translate Bal Davar, is the person that's being affected. Is a shliach being affected? No, he's just a pawn. He's just giving the kiddushin. So why can't he be an aid? He's not a Bal Davar. He's not being affected in any way. But if the definition of Bal Davar is what? a person who participates in the Maisa. Well, guess what? Who's doing the Maisa? The Shliach. He's giving the Kiddushin. He's very much participating in the Maisa. One little problem. Beis Hillel holds that Shliach Nasa ate, that he's not a Baldover. So, what are you going to say? So there are two ways out. Either you could say that Beis Hillel holds that our whole translation of Baldover is wrong, that Baldover doesn't mean the guy who participates. Or you could say that Beis Hillel will hold that the Shliach is not even considered a participant. Because Yad Shliach ki Yad Balabayis. The connection between the Shliach and the Mishaleach, the one who sent him, is so strong that it's as if the Mishaleach has taken over the Shliach's body and he's possessed by the Mishaleach, and it's the Mishaleach doing the action. That Beis Hillel would hold the Shliach isn't even doing the action. He's not even participating in the Maisa. Because Yad Shliach, his hand becomes the Yad Balabais, becomes the hand of the person who sent him. If you understand it that way, then we could still rescue our Pshat. That Baldavar means a person, even just a person who's involved in the action. I, the Shliach, did the action. No, it looks like him, but he was just possessed. Right? He's really the Yad Balabais. Halachically, we view it as it's purely the Yad Balabais. Further machlokas, some choshen mishpah, with this will close. Simon Lamed Gimel. A guy on his deathbed, a shchiv meirah, tells Aiden what he wants. You know, to give certain instructions about where money's going to go. The Edom are krovim to him, the relatives to him, and by some strange twist, they're not krovim to the people who are going to receive the money, like his children. Somehow they're closely enough related to him that they would be puzzled to be made about him, but not for his children. They're not krovim for his children. Are they valid Edom on that Savaz Shchiv Meirah, on that parting words of the Shchiv Meirah? So no, are they related to a Baldavar? If Baldavar is the people who are going to be affected, well, who's going to be affected by where this money goes? Is the dead guy going to be affected by where the money goes? No, he's dead. It will not affect him a single bit. So then you can understand that these people are perfectly kosher to be Aiden. They're only related to the dead guy. They're not related to the people who are going to get the money. But if you understand Baldavar, no, how do we say it? As the person who does the Maisa, who participates in the Maisa. Well, the Shchiv Meirah is doing the Maisa. He's giving his money to his children. These people are related to one of the Balei Maisa. One of the people who are involved in the Maisa. So this Machlokas in Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat is exactly the machlokas about how to be Magdir Baldavar. Okay, we'll leave the Guinness Egos at that. We'll do a 10-minute halacha now. What? They're also, the Edom aren't necessarily related to each other.
Both Edom are related to this guy.
Yeah, maybe on different sides or something. You have to come up with something like that. Ah, you have a